There is more going on than you know. There are unseen universal forces at work. The law of attraction is just one universal law that plays a part in shaping your reality. But there's so much more to know. If you knew how to engage all the universal forces, you could deliberately create the life of your dreams. Joshua, a group of non-physical teachers, explains the laws of the universe and how the mechanisms of physical reality actually work. They are channeled by Gary Temple Bodley, and each week, Gary and a group of students discuss how they are affecting and enhancing their lives every single day. This is the expansion of the law of attraction. This is the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. We're thrilled you're here.
Hello, everyone. This is episode 47 of the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. I'm your host, Gary Temple Bodley. Today is September 10th, 2016. We all want to manifest things and experiences, right? So how does the manifestation process really work? Can we manifest things instantly? What's the best way to manifest something? This is a question posed by Emma. She wants to know how time is involved. If we could get aligned with a desire, shouldn't it manifest immediately? Why do we have to wait? Joshua goes to great lengths to explain how the manifestation process works and what we need to do to manifest those things we want. It's going to be another great show, and I can't wait to get started. On the roundtable today, we have Steve Finizza. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Gary.
And Michael Kudson. Hi, Michael.
Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. And Kyla Hinton. Hi, Kyla.
Hi, Gary.
Good to have you all with me.
Good to be here.
We're glad to be here.
Me too.
I'm on vacation.
You are somewhere in the middle of America.
I'm in Wyoming on my way to Canada.
Is it mountainous there? Are you in mountain time?
It is mountain time, and there are mountains, but not near like what we're going to be today in Jackson, Wyoming.
Oh, very cool.
Giant mountains.
Very cool. Good. Yeah. Well, we never talked about this pre-show like we normally do, but who wants to read the quote of the week?
I do.
aren't you going to read Joshua's answer, Steve?
Next
you should do it. Why are you so afraid? What's this irrational fear you have?
Just push through it.
Push through it. Let's just do it. Let's do it and see what happens.
Okay, fine.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Michael, you want to read the quote?
My pleasure.
Awesome.
Okay.
Emma. Oh, sorry. Oh. Yeah. Just wanted to clear that up in case anybody wasn't sure. Sorry.
Most of your decisions are based on getting to your goals as fast as you can. Since the journey is the prize, not the goal, relax about time. There's no need to rush. Joshua.
So this is one of the first quotes that Deborah Jo ever did. It comes, I think, from A Perception of Reality. And it's one of my favorite. And it really makes me think of life differently, especially this whole Joshua thing. So Joshua started about a little over 3 years ago. And I sort of have this feeling that Joshua's going to be really big. And, you know, and when something gets really big, you know, that's where you know, that's the idea in your head. That's the manifestation. So to be doing, you know, events in public and having people come sort of like Abraham is and having books, you know, be big sellers and having the Joshua Live calls be big, you know, all that stuff. But right now it's this time where we have, you know, to do stuff like this, that we have time together. We're small. The community's really small. There's about, you know, interaction.
6 million.
6 million listening to the show. But, you know, the people writing in questions, stuff like that, it's maybe 1,000 or 2,000 people. So it's sort of neat that I can actually have time to answer questions from people, whoever wants to write in, and this, everything's free right now. And so it's sort of cool. And these are really the times we're having a lot of fun. There's no stress at all. We don't care one way or the other. It's no big deal. And we're just enjoying life. And from this, you can see all these manifestations happening. You know, people call, people come into your life. Kyla came into her life. Steve came into life. Michael came in. All a result of just, you know, starting something that came from nothing, but it's going to be big. And we're in the middle of that journey, and we're having fun along the way.
No rush.
No rush.
I thought it was funny on that Joshua Live call when Joshua was talking about this and how it's going to grow and how right now we're having fun and we want more and then we're going to get more and we're going to be overwhelmed and we're going to want less. And so it'll be a little bit less. It's just going to be like.
Yeah, because I can see one day, I mean, imagine Esther's life. So you have a whole year or more of events that you have booked. You've got to pay for the hotels and pay for the crew and pay for everyone to arrive and have everything set up. And every, you know, I mean, granted, it's not like doing a big concert because it's just one person. But still, you got to get cameras in place and internet connections and have to have a whole staff that's sending out emails and all this stuff, organizing the whole thing. And we don't have to do any of that. If we don't make this show, no one's going to care. I mean, some people care, but it's no big deal, right? Like, we won't upset any sponsors, is what I'm saying. No. Yeah.
We won't have to give refunds.
We won't have to give refunds to anybody, that's right? True. No one's going to call and complain. Yeah, because if we didn't do the show, we'd have people writing emails saying, oh, I missed your show, just like when, you know, we missed one show after the Law of Attraction Radio Network thing. So that was a nice thing to get all those emails and stuff.
It was validation.
Anyway, enjoy this time. You see a lot of people talk about when they're building businesses or bands starting out, the fun days were those beginning days. So mm-hmm. We're going to enjoy this part.
This is so much fun. I do it on vacation. This is how much
fun. This is so much fun. Right. I would do it for free.
Me? Well, I wouldn't. I wouldn't.
Not me. Not me.
You guys are a little expensive. I know.
The $1,000 a week you give me is pretty sweet, actually.
Wait a minute. Where's mine?
You didn't get yours, Michael? I sent checks out to everybody.
$1,000 a week.
I've heard that for plenty of clients, the checks in the mail.
The checks are in the mail. Yep.
Joshua says my time's worth $1,000 an hour. So.
Your time is worth $1,000 an hour.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm just glad you don't believe that.
Yet.
Yet. Yeah, one day. If now, you knew is, the magnificence
this is great, this is
that
great
was you,
fun.
You wouldn't mm-hmm. even recognize yourself. Mm-hmm. I was just reading that today. I think that was in a quote or a Radical Change or something. But if you could see, I think this is an introduction to a Radical Change. If you could see that who you really were, the magnificence that was really you, from your perspective now, you wouldn't even recognize that person. You couldn't even see how you could get from where you are now to that person. It's pretty amazing. So there's this bigger part of you that's out there waiting for you to find it.
Hmm. That's exciting.
For you, Michael, I think it's on the stage. That person's on the stage. We're trying to talk Michael into performing in theater.
Yeah.
And he's
now is the winter of our discontent. Yeah. Although we're still – actually, there's a – I should find a good fall quote.
Is it fall for you guys?
No, actually, it was 90-plus degrees this week.
Yeah.
It's been really hot here, but I walked out this morning to take the dog out, and I was like, oh, my gosh, it feels like fall.
Really?
Yeah, there was, like, a chill in the air. I like it.
There's a chill here. Let's see. Oh, yeah, it's 92.
Yes.
That's a little better than normal.
It rained last night, so that might have something to do with it.
I'm just kidding. It's 89.
No, it's very much still summer in New York City. In fact, we're having record heat right now.
Steve, how is it for you in Wyoming?
It is very nice. It's like 70 degrees.
Oh, that is perfect.
Yes, but tomorrow, I looked, it's going to be like 35 degrees in the morning. When we're
yikes!
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Very chilly. But it gets up to 70 in the 70s during the day, so we got a wide swing.
And when you're on the motorcycle, do you have like gear that you can wear that keeps you warm?
We brought so much warm weather gear. We could go to the Arctic, I believe. It's we're ready.
Nothing's colder than driving a motorcycle when it's chilly out.
I know. You got that wind chill factor.
Yeah. Okay. So this is a super long question, but it's I thought was really incredible. And it really goes to the heart of the manifestation process and how in the non-physical, being who we are without fear, there's no fear in the non-physical because there's no need for fear, obviously. Nothing can happen to you. So you are this pure being of love, and you're able to manifest anything you want in the moment, because obviously there's no time either, so everything's done in the moment, but also because you can keep your focus maintained on that and you're not worried. In the physical, though, we have these fears that something could go wrong. So we create this desire, and then we worry that if we do get that desire, that something could go wrong. And I see this all the time when I'm playing poker. I might look down and have pocket aces, and best starting hand you can have. You're excited to get pocket aces. Everything's great. And then you start to worry, oh, shit, what if somebody, you know, gets lucky on me and I get my aces cracked? So you have this excitement of getting what you want, and then this also fear that something bad could happen because now you're vulnerable with it too. So how do we deal with that in physical reality? And that's what this question's about. So let's not delay any longer. Kyla, would you read for Emma?
Sure. Hi, Joshua. Lately, I've been pondering the idea of a time buffer for manifestations, and I'm trying to get my head around it. I've heard Abraham say that what is manifesting right now is old news, as in it is a result of a vibration we offered in the past, and that what we are focusing on right now is creating our future. But I have been thinking, shouldn't what we are experiencing right now be an exact match to what we are right now, not the past? And therefore, is the idea of a time buffer really just the time it takes for us to change beliefs and get aligned with what we want to manifest? And if we could get aligned straight away, the manifestation would come straight away? Thanks, Emma.
That's a great question. I think everyone asked that question. And, you know, I think that we can get aligned really easily for stuff we think is small, like lunch.
Or right? parking spots.
Or parking spot, or, you know, anything, going to a movie, going out to dinner, making a phone call, stuff like that, that we know we can do. It's the big stuff that we have a problem with. Yep. Steve, would you like to read for Emma? For Joshua?
I guess I would.
Okay.
Steve got volunteered army style today for this.
Yes. Dear Emma, you would not want to manifest everything you are focused on in the moment. In the moment you focused on it, because your focus is not strong enough to maintain the vibration of what is wanted. In an environment where fear exists, such as physical reality here on Earth, you focus sometimes on what is wanted, and you focus sometimes on what is not wanted. You also have the qualities of time and space, and you have the buffer of time and a buffer of space. These are very good things, as we will explain.
So I think it was interesting that Joshua says, in an environment where fear exists, such as physical reality, here on Earth, which means that they're here on Earth with us, right? Doesn't it sound like they're here on Earth with us?
Well, they're watching like it's a TV show.
I think they're actually more than that. They're in amongst us.
Oh, yeah. That would be great if we could go inside the mind. I read that you could go inside the mind of a racer on a racetrack, and you could feel the G's. I mean, that would be something to
right.
I would pay money for that one.
When I was a kid, it was very weird, but I always thought all the time when I was a kid, what would it be like to go into that person's mind and to experiencing what they're experiencing? Even when I was a kid, I thought that. Like, are they really seeing the same colors I'm seeing? Are they really, you know, thinking the same thoughts? Are their emotions feeling the same? When they taste something, does it taste the same as what I taste? And I think that's what they're doing, is going into us or around us. All right.
Well, I remember reading something with Esther Hicks and Abraham where some experience that where she realized that Abraham was trying to experience something through her.
Mm. Well, Steve says he feels that when he's riding his motorcycle, that feels like people are with him or entities are with him while he's doing that.
Yeah, doing all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
They're yelling, whee!
That's right.
Yeah. I think you're yelling wee no matter what we're doing.
I had one kid who was, I felt a little scared actually, which I thought was cool.
You had what?
I had one kid who felt like a newbie to me, and he was like, felt a little, I wouldn't say he felt fear, but he was like, it was overwhelming for him to
quit.
So.
How did you know it was a kid?
Well, I don't know. It just felt felt like a 12-year-old. I don't know.
Wow.
Can't explain it.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, next paragraph.
In the non-physical, you are focused within the vibration of love and allowing. You can manifest whatever is wanted in the moment. Without the possibility of fear, your vibration is one of absolute love. You can maintain your focus on what is wanted because you are always in the state of love and acceptance. However, here on Earth, you have been given the survival instinct because without it, you would dip your toes in the denseness of physical reality and leave rather quickly. The survival instinct brings in the concept of fear, which keeps you alive long enough to get used to the environment.
Right. So without survival instinct, you know, everyone would come, see what it's like, and get out of here right away.
See, that always confused me, because I thought that dying was something that was pre-negotiated with your higher self.
I don't think so. I think it's when you're ready, then you can go. And if you're not ready, you don't go.
Like I think there are exit points, Steve.
Yeah, but
you know, where you negotiate, you know, and say, well, this time if you're ready, or if not that time if you're ready, or if not the time after if you're ready.
Okay, so in relation to my kids, like if they say, hey, can I go play in the street football? And I would say, well, are you inspired to play in the street and play football? And if they say yes, then yes, go for it. And you're kind of telling me that, well, maybe if they're playing in the street, they're going to get run over.
Who's telling you that?
Who's telling you that?
Well, the survival instinct.
Well, the survival instinct is telling you to have fear that they could get run over, right? But if they don't, and, you know, right. So that if they're feeling the fear, then they will not play in the street. But if they're not feeling the fear, I was in South Africa, and there's one big freeway called the N1, and they have on-ramps and just like here, you know, just exactly the same kind of freeway. But in one of those centers between the on-ramps and the freeway, 10 or 15 kids were playing soccer. It was so funny. And then down the road, these two guys were trying to carry this log across the freeway. This 30-foot long log. It's so funny.
Yep. Wow, so, those people are up for the Darwin Awards.
So they have no fear.
Yeah.
You guys ever hear of the Darwin Awards?
Yes.
What's that?
Yeah.
That's where people do dumb things and die. Because you don't want them to breed and,
right,
you know, pass down their dumb genes.
There are some very funny books called the Darwin Awards about real life stories like that.
Right. So, anyway, survival. Go ahead. Let's read the next paragraph there.
The survival instinct relies on rational fear. It keeps you from petting lions and falling off cliffs. That's all well and good. But what about the other type of fear? What about irrational fear? Well, this type of fear is limiting. The fear that keeps you from asking someone for a date or asking your boss for a raise is irrational fear because the result of your actions cannot kill you.
Okay. So we've talked about this a million times. Rational fear is worrying about getting run over by cars while you're playing football in the middle of the street. And irrational fear is anything about something that can't hurt you physically.
Right. Yeah, like us asking Gary for a raise.
Yeah.
Yes.
There, I will raise you.
I'll double the bet.
I will give you guys all an infinite raise. How about that?
Right.
Yeah, I will bequeath to you abundance. Abundance is yours.
He will raise our vibration.
So said Gary. Right. I'm raising your vibration now.
Yes, bequeathing
abundance is yours.
Physical plane.
You don't have to rely on me for your abundance. Abundance is your birthright. That's It'll right. come in unexpected ways. So you have that, which is nice.
Sounding very Joshua.
Okay, let's go to the next one.
In this reality, you tend to think of something wanted and then all of the things that could go wrong. You think of the ideal manifestation and then all of the ways that it might not manifest. You are constantly thinking of wanted and unwanted at the same time. This is a representation of your vibration, and it's not a good thing or a bad thing. If you got an idea and manifested it immediately, that would not be much fun. The fun part is rising to the vibrational level of the idea, receiving the idea, playing around with the idea for a while, then bringing the idea from the non-physical thought form to the tangible physical form. Now that's fun.
Okay, so let's see how Kyla manifested being on this podcast.
That's right? What I was thinking of.
Really? Me too.
Yeah.
So, okay. So if, first of all, you listened to the first, you were inspired to go online and search Law of Attraction. Mm-hmm. And then the first thing that you caught your eye was the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And then somehow, of all the shows that were on there, you listened to us. Did you listen to any other ones?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you listened to a few of them. And which was the best one of the ones you listened to?
This one, obviously. But really, I did, none of the others really resonated with me. But this one did.
Yeah.
So. In fairness, there are a number of very, very good shows on that network.
Sure. I mean, different strokes for different folks. Like this one was just like, I don't know. It was good.
This one's, you know, it's got us, so. The other ones don't have
clearly,
that.
I'm clearly a match to you guys. So.
That's right. So anyway, so you listen to the shows, then you found this show. This one resonated with you. Now, had you been told at that moment that you're going to be on the show as part of a regular member of the roundtable, you couldn't have even conceived of that. It would have seemed strange. You probably would have said, no, I don't want to do that, right? It's not even something that you physically thought you wanted. What'd you say?
I said, probably not. I probably would have like, fuck yeah, sign me up.
You want to do it? Yeah? Okay.
Well, because here's the funny thing, and here's what I was just thinking about, is like, probably right around that time, I was figuring out what I want to do, and I started this little website, and I was like, you know what I would really like to do? I would like to have a podcast.
Wow. Really?
So the desire was there, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Interesting. But
I didn't know. I was like, I don't know how I would come up with content. Like, what would I talk about? Would it be by myself? And then, so it's just funny how it all unfolded.
Well, the same thing for me. I mean, if you took me, like, say 4 years ago and said, you're going to have a podcast talking about the Law of Attraction, I go, well, I don't think that's going to happen. You sent it all, right? So then you got to there where you were listening, and then you wrote some questions, and then, you know, and then you just wanted to do the one-on-one, and then you talked to Steve, and then you decided to do it. But the only way you could have done that was not understand that it was, you know, more than $149. And then your question was picked to be on the podcast, and then we got the whole thing. Took a turn to the right.
Different turn.
And then here you are. Yeah, pretty interesting. Okay. So that couldn't have manifested instantly. All those events had to happen for this to line up.
Sequentially, in time. They couldn't happen all at once either. It had
all
to,
of
had
these random coincidences and luck had to happen.
And we're being facetious when we say random and coincidences.
And luck. Right.
Luck.
Yes. By the way, guys, I've been having a sort of the most downtime ever at poker the last couple months. And I've been blaming it on this guy who sits at the front desk. And when he's there, I don't win. So I actually, you know, I belly my car and walk straight and he's right there. So a couple times I've even actually, you know, well, one time I parked my own car only once and walked so I couldn't see if he was there or not. And another time I would get out of the car and walk around without looking in that direction and take the long way around. I go, this is so stupid. But even
did you
I
win?
Thinking of
did
luck.
Do better those times when you didn't see
no,
whether he was
I'm
there
saying,
or not?
Oh. No, to me, I had to say, I got to prove that it has nothing to do with him. I'm just going to win without him. And the other day I did. So
I'm going to send you a magic rabbit's foot that is guaranteed. Every time you bring it with you, you'll win. It's guaranteed.
All right. Well, I have many things on me.
How lucky was it for the rabbit?
That's when people say, look at all those chips. You got lucky chips. I go, no, these were unlucky chips from other people who I knocked out. You know, this, they're unlucky chips. But, yeah, I have, like, I wear a lucky hat, a lucky belt, lucky socks, lucky shoes, lucky underwear, lucky shirts, and lucky pants.
Ooh, I hope
I put them all out. And I
every day for this, you know, every day if you have a long tournament.
Yeah, you have to wear the same clothes every day or the same lucky ones, right? All right. But anyway, that's all bullshit. There is no luck. Okay, let's go on to the next one.
Along the way, you meet resistance, and at these points, you can decide if you really want the manifestation of your desire to come into your reality or not. You get to birth an idea and then decide if it's right for you. How wonderful is that? But this is the stuff of life. This is why you are here. The most wonderful thing is to create a desire and then focus on it until it manifests into your reality.
And if you don't want it, if you decide that it's not worth it or it's not right for you, then it does not manifest.
You know, I had a silly one happen just really quick that I can't explain this morning. Last night, Kyla made reference to it. When we first talked and she was looking into the 101, she shared that she was starting a website. And she had, and I thought she had emailed it to me or texted me. I didn't know which one. But I hadn't looked at it for ages, right? And just last night, it popped in my head, gee, I wonder if she's made any updates to it, right? And I wanted to go visit it. But I knew, I go, God, that's going to take me a while to find it because it's buried in my email how many months ago, right?
Right.
So today when I'm sitting up for the podcast and I'm bringing up my email and I still can't explain it, I bring it up and guess what email is right there?
Ooh.
Kyla's.
Ooh.
Kyla's from June 14th with her website. It's like, oh my God. It was just, that is not explainable because as a computer guy, there's no reason why an email would come up, what, you know, a year ago, whatever it is, you know, it's just kind of,
you know, that's a thing too, because that's just showing that you want something and then you just let the universe bring it to you. Yeah. You didn't have to actually do it.
That's right. It's exactly how I didn't know where I was going to land last night. We were just taking whatever turns we wanted to. We knew the general direction, but I knew for the evening I wanted to land at a place that had a good internet connection for this morning. And I wanted a few other niceties. And we landed at the perfect hotel. I've never had this fast an internet connection at any hotel in my life. And it was all sent very random. But it was almost like I had a very clear expectation that...
And intention.
And intention, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's just how it works. And we just don't trust it enough, you know?
I think that's
why I set intentions now before so many things. Like, before this show, we set an intention to have fun. That's the main thing. set intention to feel joy. The abundance meditation, man, just... We got a check in yesterday for $25,000, and Lily had one sale for $20,000 yesterday.
Wow.
So together was like a $50,000 day.
Wow.
Fantastic. You know,
this is how you can afford to pay us so much.
That's right. Yeah. But see, that would be too easy. I need you guys to want to raise your own vibration.
Hey, I listened to the abundance
just like I did
this morning.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
It's so good.
It is.
Now,
I want to. Yeah, I've got to listen to it.
I keep listening for the flaw, and I can't hear it.
It's there. Oh.
Is it really? Don't tell anyone what the flaw is.
My wife found one this morning.
Was it the same flaw?
I don't know if I'm supposed to give it. It's there's a one verse is repeated, but it's not next to each other.
Right. Yeah.
Right, yeah, that's Kyla was saying.
I have not caught it.
I haven't caught it either. I've listened to this thing 20 times. Probably.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
It's funny, the timing of it, because Joshua has just been pounding it into me that I am not what I create. So when I create something, I have to let it go and not like beat myself up if I don't think that it's perfect. And so after putting something on Facebook about the meditation and like sharing a link to it, then I was listening to it just to meditate. And I heard that and I was like, fuck.
It's a good line, though. It's a good line to repeat. I like it.
Yeah. The joy one, too. We took it out, but there was one. What was that line that was repeated twice?
Life is meant to be good.
Yeah, I mean, that's of all the lines, too. Life is meant to be good was twice. And we didn't catch that right away either because it just seemed like it was part of it, you know. Mm. But yeah, that's so cool. okay. So let's go to the next one.
Do you want to mention that it's on CD Baby?
Or
do you want to wait till it gets on iTunes?
Well, okay. So the money manifestation is really an advanced. If you do a meditation that's guided, I think the purpose of the meditation is to keep your mind focused on the meditation part, not let it wander. And in this one, for me, it really helps because there are a lot of words, but it's also very empowering, and it's 15 minutes long. The first half is explaining what abundance is, just, you know, building it into you, raising your vibration around abundance. That's the intention of the meditation, is to raise your vibration around abundance. And then the second half is about affirmations that you say to yourself as you're meditating. And it's just the one that I like the most of all the ones I've listened to, all the Abraham and all the Silva ones and everything. And it's a lot different because there's a lot of words. And you know, you're paying attention to a lot of words. And it's really cool. I think it's great, but I think it's really advanced. I don't know if it's like for, you know, you have to sort of be good at meditating. I'm not sure. But anyway, it's on CD Baby now. It's $2.99. And one day it will be on iTunes, and it'll probably be cheaper on iTunes when that time comes.
But if you want to find it, there's a link on our Facebook page, the teaching.
Or you can just go to CD Baby and search Gary Temple Bodley, too. Or it's on Twitter, it's on Instagram, Snapchat. What are the other ones? Am I missing?
MySpace.
Friendster.
That still exists.
Friendster. It's on Google.
There.
Google. All right. Hey, we should put it on the website. That'd be a good idea.
There we go.
Never thought of that. Okay. Yeah. Next one, please.
I think this is it. Along the way, you meet resistance, and at these points, you can decide if you really want the manifestation of your desire to come into your reality or not. Yeah,
that's awesome, because you just read that one.
I did.
There's no wrong, Steve.
I told you I thought that was it.
Everyone needed to hear that last sentence.
Very good. You guys concur with that? Because I don't always trust Gary. Okay. You get to choose what you want every step of the way. You get to sift and sort your way through life and decide what it is you really want. You get to mold your thoughts so that they match with the vibration of what is wanted. You get to alter your beliefs so that you may become a vibrational match to the physical manifestation of what you want. You get to have so much fun doing all of this. How exciting.
Okay, so we have to think of it as fun. Well, it's this process of moving and changing and moving and going through a manifestation event that seems miserable, but actually it's there to alter our beliefs. We just have to reframe how we think about these things, how we think about emotions and all that.
It's not so easy.
Oh, but it's definitely worth it.
It's definitely not so easy, though.
I've gotten to a point where it feels easy most of the time, except for with my kids, because I'm so emotionally invested in it. But yeah.
You're attached to an outcome.
Right. But I'm just looking at life like it's a game, not in that I'm like trying to manipulate all the pieces, but I'm just having fun with it and trying to figure out like, oh, what does this mean? What's that mean for my next move? Like, what right. do I want to, you know? And it's just, it's a good time.
I got myself worked up yesterday about a matter where I was trying to push one side to do something. Yeah. Well, actually to do something where I was being judgmental. I wanted the other side to do something that I thought, you know, forgetting about money was right. Because they were trying to push my client. My client is in jail. He stands accused of a horrific crime. I'm not going to get into the details. This involves I'm representing him on the estate matter. And, the other side keeps pushing him to give money or give property. And I keep on pushing the other side, family members, to visit him or acknowledge his existence in exchange. Mm-hmm. And I got very agitated about it, especially given the pushback on the other side. And You know, it actually kind of upset me for a good chunk of the day yesterday. And that really wasn't that wasn't productive for me at a whole bunch of different levels. You know, including the fact that it impaired my my productivity throughout the entire day until I could get my bearings back and say, okay, you know what? Day's over. This will pass. This is whatever it is, and you know, I've got to get myself back into my happy place.
Right.
for want of a better description.
You have an opportunity here. Your negative emotion is alerting you to a limiting belief. So you have an opportunity to do two things. You can change your perception or your perspective on this and try and see how them not visiting your client is actually going to work out for everybody, or that the timing isn't right now, or whatever it is. So some perspective where you can say to yourself, okay, they will get together when they get together. They don't have to do it now, even though that seems what he wants, or it seems like that would be the good thing. And maybe there's a reason for this that I can't see. And then the second thing you look at is your own limiting belief in this matter. So why do I feel negative emotion? Well, it's based in an irrational fear. Well, what is that irrational fear? Well, that family should love each other, and that if something like this were to happen to me, would my family treat me the same way? And, you know, you can say, well, this is an irrational fear because I'm not going through this. It's nothing that I wanted to experience. This is something that he's choosing to experience. And it's all working out for them, but it has nothing to do for me, so I don't have to be worried about that. You know, something like that. And then once you find out whatever it is and you feel better, then you've found the key to this limiting belief. Now, the funny thing about this is, even though you think you're sort of a spectator in this, this is all happening for you, right? You got involved in the situation specifically to help you deal with something or change a belief that's limiting you. Now, if you can take that perspective, you can really go run with it, and even if you can say right now, well, that's, you know, there is no limiting belief. If you felt negative emotion, it's a sign that there's a limiting belief. That's all there is to it. Mm-hmm. And it's for you.
And so then once you find it and reduce the intensity of it, then it changes everything. And if you do that with every single thing that comes up, every single time you feel negative emotion, everything, it becomes easy, and then life feels like a game.
Right. And you start getting where you want to go. You start manifesting things that you want. You start feeling better all the time. It's a magical thing to do. So the idea is, though, when you encounter negative emotion at any time, you have to stop and think, what am I afraid of? What am I fearing? What's my perspective? Why do I think this is wrong? And if you can do that in a habit, even though you're, you know, not used to doing stuff like that, then your life changes as a result. Yep. Okay, let's get to the next one.
Do you know that you are not yet a match to all the things you want, but are not manifested in your reality?
Okay, so do you know that you are not yet a match to all the things you want that have not manifested in your reality? So if it's not in your reality right now, and you want it, you're just not a match to it.
There's some work to do. How do you become a match? You sift and sort through life until you reach the vibrational vicinity of some desire. Once you receive the idea, you know you are within the vibrational vicinity of that thing, feeling, or whatever it is. However, if it hasn't physically manifested yet, so you have a little more work to do.
Right. So let's go on to the next one because we're getting close here.
It's an interesting thing to be so close to something yet so far. You are a vibrational match to the idea of what you want, but not to the physical manifestation of it. We are going to let you in on a little secret. The non-physical idea of what is wanted is almost the exact same vibration of the physical representation of that idea. You are so close. If you have the idea, the physical thing is right next to you. Your mind is a vibrational match to it. The non-physical part of you is a vibrational match to it. It's just that the physical you is not quite there yet.
So if you have this idea, or if you even receive the thought of something, then you are a match to the idea. So take that a little further. You're not that far away from the physical, from the vibrational match of the physical thing that represents that idea. It's right there. It's super close. You just have to bring yourself, the physical you, within that, you know, up a little higher in your vibration. If you weren't a physical match to it at all, you would never receive the thought or the idea. I am not a physical match to
fly fishing.
Fly fishing, excellent. Excellent, right?
You don't want to. You don't want to be at four in the morning out in a cold cold street.
Actually, I'm a vibrational match to the thought of fly fishing because I can think the thought, right? But I'm not a vibrational match to maybe a foreign language or something that I don't even know. Something I don't even have any idea at all. Now I can go and fly fish anytime I want, right? So I can manifest that if I wanted to super easily. In this case, I don't want to. I have my best friend Rob loves fly fishing. They fly fish here in West Palm Beach all the time. So I can go with them anytime. But that's not like a desire. But I am a match to it. And if it was a desire, I could do it right away. Same as scuba diving or going to the beach, you know, stuff like that.
I want to manifest a car. Because it's time.
You have a car.
I have several cars. It's time.
Good job. You've done it well.
I'm a car guy, and there's a new car that I want to manifest, and I'm enjoying the crap out of this process right now, and I'm honing in on the exact. I'm going to duplicate what I did for the Harley because the Harley's perfect.
Yeah.
And I want that same feeling again, and it's coming like a freight train. That's how I feel. It's coming.
Excellent. So that's the thing. If you can enjoy this time period, enjoy the journey between the thought and the physical manifestation, because really that's the most fun. The day you get it, you might have a little bump of excitement, but really it's not.
It's not going to match this.
It's not going to match this, right.
Right, yeah. And I know that. So this, I'm relishing it. It's quite exciting.
I remember when I was 16, my friend and I went to look at a, you know, 2-year-old Toyota Supra. And we get in this car and we're like, this is the most beautiful car we've ever seen. You know, there's no way we can afford this thing. It's so nice. And I just looked at it and go, this, you know, I was so far apart from being a match to this thing. Mm-hmm. In being able to afford it or even feeling comfortable driving it or worry about getting a scratch on it, things like that, that I couldn't manifest. It was just too far away. But so when you are right there on the edge of it, it'll just seem like the obvious next step.
Yeah.
That's the thing that Joshua says, or Abraham says all the time. It's the most logical next step. It's right there.
And it's I don't want to get a super fancy car right now. I want to have another step after this step. It's like I want to just take the next level up car, you know what I'm saying? And then relish that and then take the next level up car. If I went to the a Bugatti Veyron right now, like the top, and then like, well, what do you do after that? It's like, might as well kick off and become a 2-year-old again so I can do this again. So,
isn't there always a new car being made that's better, bigger, better, faster, stronger?
Well, maybe. Yeah. Maybe, but that's – I'm talking – I still have a lot of quantum leaps I can take, and once you hit the top, they're just micro steps. Oh, this one goes a little tiny bit faster or something.
Yeah, when I started playing poker live, I was just like, okay, if I can just win a hand, then that would be good. And then once I win a hand, if I can just make it to the first break, if I can make it to the halfway point, that's good. If I can make it to the final table, that's good. If I can just make it to the money, that's good. And then if I could just get second place, that's good. And then if I could win a small tournament, that's good. And then if I could win a big tournament, that's good. And then if I could knock out a pro, you know, that's good. And if I could win a World Series of Poker tournament, you know, that keeps going. And then if you win a $10,000 buy-in tournament and things like that. So by the time I won my first tournament, it was like the logical next step. And you know, so the fun is along the way, all these points. And I think it's also the overcoming of the doubt, right? So you take a little step, you get a little closer, and the doubt recedes a little bit because you can see other people who've done it. You can see that you're capable of doing it. You can see that you've had success in the past. Why not in the future? That sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to go on.
Go on.
I'm going to go on. We got a long question, long answer here.
How much time do we have left?
All the time in the world.
All the time in the world. Or 15 minutes, whatever comes first.
Okay. We can go a little longer if we want to.
Yeah, I know.
We're like 1 millionth of the way done with this question.
Exactly.
But that was a secret. Let you in a little secret. The non-physical idea of what is wanted, almost the exact same vibrations of physical representation of that idea. Good to know. All right.
So how do you get the physical part of you to align with the idea that's running around in your mind? How do you make those final few adjustments so that the physical you can match the vibration of the physical idea you hold in your head? All you have to do is change who you are being, what you are constantly thinking, what you are believing, and how you are approaching life. If you could do this on your own, you could bring the idea to life quite easily and quickly.
Okay. So that is an interesting thing. Go ahead, Kyla.
Oh, I was just going to... Yeah, that's all you have to do is change everything.
Change everything. Yeah, good luck.
Right?
Yeah, it sounds like Jonathan Swift's A Modest Proposal.
So if you could identify your limiting beliefs, you could probably sit there and change them on your own. But your limiting beliefs you sort of think are true, right? Otherwise, they wouldn't be beliefs. And you don't really realize that they're limiting until someone brings it up to you or until you get into some situation that confronts those beliefs. Okay, go to the next one.
The reason you don't have what you want is that you do not believe it yet. Once you convince yourself that it's possible, the desire gets closer to manifesting. Once you believe you deserve it, the desire comes even closer. Once you expect it, the desire is almost there. Once you know it, the desire has manifested.
That paragraph right there is super interesting because I was just reading the introduction to A Perception of Reality, which was written November. This is the first page, I think, is November 2013, so 3 years ago, right? And that is almost the same as paragraph as is in the first page of this book. Pretty interesting. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. So it's a big deal here. Yep. Mm-hmm.
There's nothing you really need to do on your own. Of course, you could always spend time working on your limiting beliefs and raising your own vibration through meditations and study of teachings such as these and others. This certainly helps. You could become more in touch with who you really are and what you really want, rather than comparing yourself with others who you think have it better than you. You could get a sense of what is really important to you, rather than chasing the false desires thrust upon you through the influence of those around you and your society as a whole. Or you could just let the universe work its magic for you.
So here is the key, is that there's nothing you really have to do, that you will be thrust into situations where you will come to confront your limiting beliefs, and you have the opportunity at those times. Okay.
Once you birth a desire, any desire, every desire, the universe goes to work to bring it to you. It will shape you through a series of manifestation events that will enhance your beneficial beliefs and reduce the intensity of your limiting beliefs. When something happens and you feel positive emotion, you are experiencing a manifestation event designed to enhance a beneficial belief. When you experience negative emotion, you are right in the middle of a manifestation event designed to reduce the intensity of one or more limiting beliefs.
So you come upon a situation, you feel negative, you feel positive emotion, right? Like you look at, we got out of poker the other day, and there was this rainbow that was actually a double rainbow that was so perfectly clear. I came and got Lily. We jumped in the car, went to the beach, and you could see both tips of the rainbow touching the water in the ocean. It was the most magical thing we ever saw. So you're looking at this, We're with each other. We brought Rocky with us, her dog. And you're seeing the most beautiful thing in nature. And you just feel this intense joy. And that is an indication or is an event that's enhancing a highly beneficial belief where there, the belief is that this world is beautiful, right? That is a good belief to have right there. So you can have positive manifestation events that enhance positive beneficial beliefs. And you can have manifestation events where you incur negative emotion and that doesn't feel as good, but it's the same guidance system at work.
What's interesting to me is that it really still just boils down to your perspective on it, because the same event can be interpreted two ways. What came to mind for me was way back in the day, right when I was, just really starting to, had birthed the desire without realizing it of like, just surrounding the whole like way that I interact with men. And I was out, and for the first time, like I really felt like I looked hot, you know, and this guy, I was sitting outside and a bunch of people went inside and this guy said, "So what's a pretty girl like, or, oh, they ought to know better than to leave a pretty girl like you out here alone." And I could have taken that as a compliment, but I like felt fear and judged right. this guy as a douchebag and then wrote Joshua a question about it. And they're like, "You felt like you looked good, you wanted attention, and you got attention, and you chose to perceive it like as a negative instead of a positive." So, now, if somebody were to say that to me, I'd probably like come up with some charming, witty response. I'm like, flattered, you know?
It was still a cheesy line, but okay.
But
the guy was trying.
That's all we have, Michael.
The best he
right,
could.
All we have is cheesy lines.
Hey, speak for yourself.
Okay. You'll have to write a book of good lines.
Of witty lines.
Witty lines for guys to use.
Witty lines.
Okay.
The manifestation events where you feel negative emotion do not feel good. We understand that. They are not meant to feel good. They are meant to get your attention. They are meant to shake you up. They are designed so that you might become aware of a limiting belief, and hopefully you will see that the belief is based in fear and the fear is false. If you can identify the fear and prove to yourself that it is false, you can alter your beliefs, raise your vibration, and come one step closer to the manifestation of your desire in your reality.
Keep going.
But unfortunately, did you want to say something?
It was related to what I was just talking about. That paragraph reminded me. With Joshua's help, identified the fear that I, or the limiting belief that I was unworthy of attention. And so in the span of like an hour, I wrote Joshua two questions. I'd realized that this was the limiting belief that I had. And so in my mind, I worked through it and thought of people that I really respect who like give me their time and attention. And just, I had one of those like real shifts. And then as soon as I had that shift, I got this email from Jeanette Ma, and heard the email, the title or the subject line was, "I freaking love you." And I have so much respect for her. And I don't know. So it was like this instant manifestation. It was so cool. Anyway. So.
Wow. The universe is quick to reflect back to you your new vibration.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Anyway.
But unfortunately, that's not what you do. You stand your ground. Well, that's Kyla does
yeah.
the right thing.
Right. This one's talking to Emma, though.
Kyla.
Emma,
yes. Kyla. Yeah. We love you, Kyla.
Well, Emma, we love Emma, too.
We love Emma, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But unfortunately, that's not what you do. You stand your ground and hold firmly to your limiting beliefs. You become attached to these beliefs, even though you often have no firsthand experience with them. You adopted most of your limiting beliefs through the influence of someone else that you believed knew more about life than you did. So you resist the event, endure the emotional pain, and hold on firmly to your present vibration without allowing yourself to change.
I just had a little flash that if you say that anyone or anything should be different than it is, that's an indication of a limiting belief right there.
Yeah.
No matter what it is. People should be nice, right? That's an indication of a limiting belief.
And I say that all the time. Someone should do something about that.
I've been playing with changing should to could because it takes the judgment out of it.
Oh, yeah, that's good. I bet that works.
I've been talking about myself, like, you know, oh, I really should be. It's like, oh, I really could be. If I chose to do that, I could be doing that, you know?
Yeah.
That's a nice one. Mm-hmm. That should be on a card or something. Yeah. Kyla's cards.
Yeah. Well, here we go.
Change shit to could.
All of this resistance is based in fear. The fear is irrational because it cannot kill you. Your beliefs are just thoughts you think are true. If the belief is beneficial, meaning it's empowering and it aligns with who you are and what you want, then it's true. However, if the belief is limiting and it is responsible for holding you apart from your desire, then it is based in irrational fear and it is false, every single time without exception. Learn to question your limiting beliefs. Learn to see them for what they are, limitations. You are a limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance. Release your limitations and allow whatever you desire to flow effortlessly to you.
Yeah, so rational fear is limiting also. It keeps you from petting lions. You'd like to pet lions, but your fear limits you. But that's a good thing. But anything else that limits you that's irrational, like your fear of not having enough time to perform in community theater.
Yes.
Right? You can get over that. You can push through that fear, and you can do it. Yep.
I don't think it's a fear, but okay. And point taken.
You can feel excitement from getting onto your first play at the community theater. And yeah. then you know, eventually Broadway. But, you know, you want to pace yourself, okay?
Right.
Take your time.
Get in a play, and then we'll all come to New York and watch.
Oh, we can come to New York. That'd be great. Yeah. We would love to.
That would be. Yeah. Okay, we're at the
What town do you live in, Michael?
Huh? I live in Scarsdale, New York.
Scarsdale, don't they have a performing arts theater there?
No, not here, but close enough.
They probably
close?
Have a neighborhood theater.
What's it called?
That's a good question.
All right, research it.
We'll find
anyway.
Out. Anyway. Yep. We're in the Joshua call this week, which is now on Podbeam if anyone wants to listen to Joshua live.
And oops. iTunes.
It's on iTunes too?
Oh, no. I thought you were talking
live?
About
Joshua Live?
Joshua Live. No, get to Joshua Live on iTunes so I can make some YouTube videos with it. But
okay.
Anyway, talking to Wendy, and they said to Wendy, you should go find a horse to pet. And from that thing, other stuff will happen.
Because
has Wendy found any horses to pet?
I haven't heard, but
oh, we
the reason he brought that up was because that was one of her pets.
He? Who's he?
She, Abe. God. that group of goofballs.
Uh-huh. Because it was a passion. She couldn't find her passions, and this was a passion she had as a child. So they had her start back from those passions she has as a child. The things that you were interested in as a child will lead you to those things that you will be passionate about as an adult.
Okay. Final paragraph.
All right.
This is the non-resistant approach to life. This is the allowing approach to life. This is the approach to life that works in harmony with universal forces and energies. This is the way it is in the non-physical. This approach is universal. This approach is effective. It works every time without fail. Learn to allow by seeing nothing as inherently bad or wrong, and all that you want will flow to you in the right amount at the perfect time. Joshua.
And Joshua wrote a book about that called A Radical Change in Your Approach to Life.
Yes.
Yep. So the approach to life that we were raised with is this one of doing and getting and taking and pushing against. But the approach to life that really works within the universal forces in harmony with nature is the allowing approach to life. Not trying to control, but releasing control. Not trying to be perfect, but just being inspired to do what you're inspired to do.
And because
talk about that. Go ahead. Yeah,
we have a lot here.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about.
Being defenseless was big for me. Because I was all about defending. No one's going to step on me, you know.
Right. Yeah, because you sort of think, well, if I am this allowing person and allow everyone to be as they are, then won't they take advantage of me?
Yeah, step all over you.
That's right.
Right. But they won't because you're not a vibrational match to anyone who would do that.
No.
Right.
I still don't understand how it happens. I'm still kind of like when I give in to somebody Mm-hmm. I go, when I go, you're right, or, you know, I let him take my parking spot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they go, that's my parking spot, and I have a really great parking spot. It just, it's everything in my bones say, don't just give it to him.
Right.
But, then it works out when I do. It's like crazy. Yeah. Crazy.
And it doesn't work out when you don't.
No,
because when you don't, you spark a fight, or if nothing else, you have this little hostility or conflict that stays with you for a while because you're experiencing negative emotion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think sometime along the way, Joshua's next book is going to be called You're Right, I Apologize. Because if you just say those, you're right, I apologize. Four words.
Or I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't think it's I'm sorry, but you can say I'm sorry. But that, for me, has a negative connotation. I'm sorry.
They've told me I'm sorry because that's what feels more natural to me, probably. That's why they said it to me. But, like, in their letters to me, And I've used it. And I use all kinds of variations of it now because I use it to the same people, so I got to, like, mix it up so they don't – they still catch on. But
but it's always true. The other person is always right because there is no wrong. And from their perspective, they're right. And you're never going to convince them that you're right. So I'm sorry. And you just dissipate that conflict. And
well, Joshua's going to have to write a book about this for how lawyers can handle this, because part of my job is to always convince people I'm right under any circumstances.
Mm. Yeah, well, there is probably a way to do it. Yeah, there's probably some way to do it. They'll probably say, "Yeah,
my clients don't want me to say you're right. I'm sorry."
You should ask Joshua a question about that, Michael.
You know what? Maybe this week I'll put together a letter because that is the ultimate threading the needle.
Yeah. By the way, Michael, have you watched The Night of? It's an HBO 8-part miniseries sort of thing.
No, what is that?
It's so fantastic. It's about this Middle Eastern kid in Queens or something, and he takes he's like 21 years or 22 years old. He takes his dad's taxi at night without permission to go to a party in Manhattan, first time he's ever done it, and people are trying to get in the cab, and he kicks people out, and then this one girl gets in the cab, and he doesn't kick her out. They go out, do a couple of things, get back to her apartment, and he wakes up in the morning and she's dead.
And, okay.
And he leaves, right? And this thing is about this trial trying to prosecute him for murder. And he, while he's in prison, this lawyer who just basically trolls for cases or clients in the jails sees him and realizes them that this kid could not have done it. And it's just a fascinating show. I think it's 8 episodes long, so you gotta check that out. The Night of, I think you'd
okay.
You'd love.
I'll check that.
So write Joshua a question about this, and it'll be interesting to see what they say. I always get this idea of what they're gonna say, but it's always for me and next the person. Mm-hmm. And I shouldn't even read these questions ahead of time. I should just read them while I'm doing it because I have this idea in my head, but it's always different. So,
right. I mean, because by definition, I'm supposed to be fighting for what the client wants, whether it's right or wrong.
Yeah.
On the side, I then try to persuade the client to do, in quotes, what's right or what's rational. And that gets problematic sometimes, too.
Right.
And sometimes the client
maybe
doesn't.
Maybe we could use Michael's. Oh, sorry. I got excited. I was going to say maybe we could use, if you write that question, maybe we could use it on next week's show.
Yeah.
Okay. That'd be cool.
You know what? I'll put together a letter. My pleasure.
By the way, Steve, Sienna wrote a question, and the first time this ever happened is Joshua referred her to a previous answer of one of her previous questions.
Wow.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
She was supposed to read that and then write another question, and she hasn't done that yet.
Oh, was this a recent thing? Because she hasn't told
me
anything.
Like a week ago or something.
Oh.
What?
Well,
yeah.
I don't think she got the answer. You should send it to her again. She would tell me if she got.
Oh, okay. Maybe she did for a reason.
Maybe it was all about, that annoying dad of mine, Steve. What do I do? I'm feeling a lot of resistance towards him, and then we had a manifestation event.
No, I'm turning her over my knee.
I think she's a little old for that.
Oh, We have a unique relationship.
Oh, we can go into a lot of societal resistance to that one.
Hey, guys, you remember there's no wrong, right?
There's no wrong.
Judgment, Michael. No judgment.
All right. So this was another wonderful show. Seems to me it's been 60 minutes. How long has it been?
It has been an hour and 4 minutes and 39 seconds.
All right. I don't even have a timer going. I just could figure out. All right. So this was fun. Did you guys have fun?
Yes.
Absolute blast.
Do you know how to manifest something now?
It's getting there.
Sure. What do you mean? We just told you the whole thing. How did you not know?
All you have to do is change everything.
Yeah,
change everything.
That's right.
All right. So I'm going to go manifest a win in the Players Championship tournament today that is starting. Oh, it started already. So I have to get over there.
I'm going to manifest Jackson, Wyoming.
Okay, you manifest Jackson, Wyoming. I always wanted to go there. It's supposed to be nice. I bet it's even nicer in summer.
Yes.
I'm going to manifest some healing for my back. I have some physical therapy exercises I have to do.
Okay. Get over your resistance. Very good.
Yep.
Kyla, what are you doing today?
I'm going to manifest a bedroom that is completely unpacked and relaxing, peaceful.
And are you having children arrive or depart this weekend?
They have already departed. They will be returning in a few days.
So. Oh, okay, good. So we have a lot of expectations of
But only if she's inspired.
Yeah, I mean, only do what you're inspired. We're gonna send a book to Russell Brand this week.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Looking forward to that.
Yeah. We are intending for him to one day be on this podcast with us. Mm-hmm. God, that would be fun.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
That would be a blast.
All right. Okay, until next week, everyone have a fantastic week. We will see you again. If you want to ask Joshua a question, please go to theteachingsofjoshua.com and click on Ask a Question. You can read all the previous answers there as well, or lots of them. I'll put some more on this week. And we will be here again next week. Joshua Live is available. I don't know how you find it. How do you find Joshua Live, by the way?
joshualive.podbean.com.
Okay. And what happens if you
go to Podbean and look, search for Joshua Live.
Okay. Does that work?
Joshua Live. What's wrong with joshualive.podbean.com? It's simple.
Oh, I'm on CD Baby. Where's Podbean? Podbean. I haven't listened to any of the Joshua Lives, I'm afraid.
I will put a link on the Facebook page. I had done that because I didn't feel like it was perfect because I don't have episode descriptions, but I can do that.
Yeah, listen to those things and figure out what they say because I don't remember.
Yeah, that's bringing up some fears about time. That's like 4 hours of
Gary,
what's up.
You could listen to them and come up
I don't
want to
listen
synopsis.
To them. No way.
No way.
Maybe the listeners could listen to them and then send me an email and tell me what.
Well, let's distribute the work here.
There you go.
Right.
Maybe the universe will figure it out.
Yeah. Maybe I'll just open my computer tomorrow and there will already be the descriptions of.
That's the easiest way.
Or maybe we'll just write one blanket description like, this week some amazing shit happens.
I like that.
I'm doing that as soon as we hang up.
You're not going to believe what you hear this week. All right.
All righty.
If you search, if you search Gary Temple Bodley, it's just the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable in Podbean.
So, I mean, it's joshualive.podbean.com.
Joshua Live, is that one word? Or do we do two words?
No, it's all one on a URL. So.
Oh, here's Joshua Live Podcast. If you just search Joshua Live.
Go ahead, Kyla. Say it one more time.
It's joshualive.podbean.com. I found it.
Which is pretty simple. We got to admit, it's pretty simple.
Episode 1, How Happy Are You?
Yes.
Joshua shares their infinite intelligence as Steve and Colin talk about manifestation events they were each able to recognize in the moment. And Kate realizes she deserves much more credit than she's been giving herself.
Yeah, it's hard to boil it down. I feel like so much happens on those calls that it's hard to boil
it. It is. I mean, there's so many topics and they keep going round to the beginning too at the end.
Yeah, and it seems like it's funny how they all interweave. Like when each of us talk something different, they bring it back to the same point of
exactly. It's really cool. Okay, I'm gonna leave now.
Okay,
bye.
Good.
Okay,
you guys
go manifest the big winning.
Okay, win some money for the family.
Bye bye, everybody.
See you next week. Bye bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. Remember, you are loved more than you can imagine, by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next week.